Book of James, written by Jesus' brother, the pastor of the Jerusalem church. In James, we find some very powerful words. The central theme of the book of James was to expose unethical practices among Christians and within the church, and to set us on the right path to proper Christian behavior. So this morning, as we think about that theme, we want to look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 18. Well, we'll go up and pick up verse 17 as well through 27. The message this morning is entitled, True Religion. You've heard the saying, someone saying, well, he's found religion or she has found religion. Well, I contend to you that religion is not what we need to find, it's Jesus Christ. For when we have Christ, we have everything that we need. And we'll look at that this morning. Please join me in standing for the reading of God's Word. In James chapter 1, I'm going to pick up with verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion, true religion, pure religion, verse 27, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Father, bless your word. Speak to us this morning. Challenge us with your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. True religion. True religion. What does that mean? What is James writing about here? The church, the Christian church today, is experiencing, is suffering from, is facing both an identity crisis and a credibility crisis. The church today, the Christian church, is struggling to identify with Christ and to follow Him. Who is it that we identify with as believers in Christ? As the church today, who is it that we identify with? Do we identify with Christ, or do we identify with the world? It's the question begs to be asked, where is the allegiance of the church today? If we are His, if we belong to Jesus, then we're to forsake all else. And we are to identify with Jesus as our Savior and Lord, and we are to follow Christ. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and man. You cannot serve and follow Jesus and follow the world, for they are on two very different paths leading to two very different destinations. So this morning, do we identify with Christ? If the answer is yes, if we identify with Christ, then our lives should lend credibility to that claim. If we identify with Christ, then our lives should demonstrate a credible evidence to the world that we are indeed His, that we belong to Jesus. So the church today, in universal terms, the Christian church is struggling with this crisis of identity and this crisis of credibility. There's a lot of counterfeit Christianity today. You can turn on the television. You can read books from different churches and pastors, and oh, they're going to tell you how to get rich. They're going to tell you how to be happy. They're going to tell you how to find this and find that. They'll tell you how to find everything except for how to find Christ. Jesus is the one we need in our lives. For I believe that emanating from Him and His presence and His life-changing power in our lives, we are given everything that we need for forgiveness of sin, for sustainment as brothers and sisters in Christ, the spiritual gifts that we need to serve Him, to be a blessing to others. He is the solid rock upon which we are to build the foundation of our lives, of our home, and of our church. That is, Jesus is the one that we must identify with. As the church has now entered into the third millennium, the world is still desperately longing to see what James refers to here in verse 27, a picture of true or pure religion. The world is desperately longing to see that, and that's the focus of this passage here in James. James tells us that true religion is characterized by a litmus test of three key factors. And those key factors are knowing Christ, knowing Him, sowing consistency in our lives, and showing godly character. Well, first of all, this morning we can see that true religion involves knowing Christ. What does it mean to know Christ? In verse 18, James writes, "Of His own He will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." What does it mean to know Christ? There's a difference between having a heart knowledge, a head knowledge of who Jesus is, and a heart knowledge. There's a difference between having an intellectual, academic knowledge and knowing and recognition of who Jesus is, and having that heart knowledge because we have had a personal experience with Him. In other words, we could say there's a difference between knowing of Him, knowing about Him, versus intimately truly knowing Him because of our personal relationship and our daily walk with the Lord. So this morning, we must realize that true religion involves knowing Christ. Now, one could have a form of religion and not know Jesus. That is a possibility. That is not an impossibility. In our world today, that is a strong probability among many. One can have a form of godliness, a form of religion, that is, and yet not know Christ. One can be religious and not know Jesus, but that is useless and pretentious and does no one any good. There is no eternal value in a Christless religiosity. The Pharisees were religious. The Pharisees were extremely religious. But the problem was they despised Jesus, and they did not recognize Him as Christ. They did not recognize Him as Lord. They did not recognize Him as the Messiah. You see, true religion emanates from knowing Christ, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, and walking with Him day by day. That's the basis. That's the foundation of religion, of true religion, as James writes about. If we remove Christ, religion becomes a meaningless endeavor. But we can also see here, in James writes, he speaks of salvation's origin. He says there in verse 18, "One would begat of His own will He begat us." One translation says He chose to give us birth. Not only did He choose to give us physical birth, biological birth, but also rebirth. We are born again through Christ. He gives salvation. Salvation comes from Him and Him alone. And so through Him we are born again. And He speaks of salvation's mode of operation. He says not only does Jesus choose to give us birth, but notice the means: through the word of truth. See, the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, it's the Word that works in us to transform our lives, to make us less like the world and more like Christ. It's the Word that transforms us and makes us different from this world and molds us and makes us into Christ's image. The Word of God working in us, the Holy Spirit working in us and working in our lives. And then he speaks of salvation's outcome. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Why? That we might be a kind of first fruits for all that he had created. Now, James was writing to first century Christians here. The fact that they are the first fruits of the Christian church. But he's also speaking to us in the sense that through Christ we experience salvation. And because of that experience, because of that life-changing experience, my life and your life, brother and sister in Christ, will never be the same once we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus changes lives. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. We're saved not by good deeds. And we are to work to do good deeds, but we're not saved by good deeds. Good deeds is just a byproduct of knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you want to do good and you want to follow Him and you want to be faithful to Him. But through Christ, we experience salvation. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. But through that transformation in our lives, works, good works, godly works, should be clearly evident, should be clearly demonstrated, clearly displayed in our lives. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works." Why? Lest any man should boast. We can't boast in our goodness. We can only boast in what Jesus has done in us and through us. But if we claim to know Christ, that claim is not validated by the words that we say. That claim is validated because we are known, the Bible says, by our fruits, known by our works. You see, we profess Christ, and the life that we live lines up with that profession that we make. So we see that true religion involves knowing Christ, not knowing of Him, not knowing about Him, but knowing Him intimately, knowing Him personally, having that personal walk with Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Secondly, we can see this morning that true religion involves sowing consistency. In verses 19 through 25, that's what James is speaking of, being consistent in our lives, not having this dichotomy of saying one thing but living a different way, or this dichotomy of following Christ today and not following Christ tomorrow. We are to have a consistent walk and a consistent talk with the Lord, not only on Sunday, but on every day. We are to live lives surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that true religion involves sowing consistency. Consistency can be defined as being in a routine, doing the same thing day in and day out. Some of you may be on an exercise routine, or maybe you're on a diet trying to eat right, or maybe you're reading through the Bible, or whatever a plan it may be that you're on. The only way that you can progress through that is to be consistent, right? Whatever goal that you're working toward, you have to be consistent. Well, here we're challenged to be consistent in our walk with the Lord. We're challenged to be consistent in our talk with, we're to walk the walk and we're to talk the talk, to put it in plain English South Alabama lingo. We are to walk the walk and we are to talk the talk that we profess to have consistently. Not only does the world need to see sincerity in us, but the world also needs to see consistency in us. Not only does the world need to see people that say they love Jesus, but the world needs to see a people who have been touched by Him and who live and follow after Him day in and day out. We're to live lives that are consistent with the Lord and consistent with His Word. We are to live, and we are to, and what's needed is an everyday, day in and day out display of a changed life through Jesus Christ. His power living in us and working through us. A life that follows Christ on Monday with the very same sincerity and tenacity that followed Him on Sunday. And every day throughout our lives. We need consistency in our walk and our talk with the Lord. In this paragraph here, James insists that if we are to present our world a true picture of Christ, and who Jesus is. Because, by the way, we may be the only example of Christ in the lives of those around us. It may be our life that's pointing them to Jesus. It may be because of our testimony. It may be because of our faithfulness. It may be because we're walking and the walk and talking the talk that others are pointed to Christ. And God begins to work in their lives. But here James says if we are to present our world a true and accurate picture of Christ, then we must not only know Him personally, but our lives must be consistent with His Word. Again, walking the walk and talking the talk. That involves being consistent in our talk. In other words, do the things we say glorify God and point others to Jesus Christ? Not only do we need to be consistent in our talk, we need to be consistent in our walk. In other words, do the things that we do, by the way that we conduct ourselves, by our mannerisms, by the way that we live our lives, does that glorify God? The things that we do, do they glorify God, and do they point others to Jesus Christ? Consistent in our walk and consistent in our talk, and there must be no disconnect between the two. So we see here our lives should not be consistent with the world. If we are following Christ, our lives should be contrary to the world. Instead, our lives should be consistent with the Word, that is the Word of God, and not be contrary to that Word of God working in our lives. So we see true religion involves knowing Christ. Everything stems from that. That's the root system, if you will. And then from that, true religion involves sowing consistency in our lives. But next we can see that true religion involves showing character. Character. Now everyone has character. You can have good character and you can have bad character, can't you? So what kind of character are we talking about here? In verse 26 and 27, James says in verse 26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So true religion involves character, not just any character, but a godly character. A character consistent with the life that Jesus would have us to live. We gain credibility not by what we claim, not by what we profess, but by that character that we live out each day that validates that claim. You've heard the saying, talk is cheap, right? So not only are we to say that we love Jesus and that we follow Him, but our character should be consistent with that claim. James begins these verses by saying, if anyone considers himself religious... There's no shortage of people in our world that claim to be religious. There's no shortage in this nation of people who claim to be religious. In fact, statistics will tell us that 80-some-odd percent of people in our land claim to be religious. The difference is, and again, the Pharisees were religious. None were more stooped in religion than they. But true believers know Christ, not know of Him, not just know about Him, but know Him because we are walking closely with Him each day. True religious involves sowing a consistent a faith, walking with Him consistently in our faith. And true religion involves showing a godly character. In other words, the character that's displayed in our lives should lend credibility to the claim that we are Christian, which means Christ-like. That's a heavy title to carry, Christ-like. We are saying, when we're saying we're Christian, we are saying we are Christ-like. We're saying that our life, our mannerisms, our walk, and our talk, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we live out our lives, the decisions that we make, the things that we refrain from, the things that we do, the things that we don't do, the things that we commit, the things that we don't commit, the things that we omit, that we are Christ-like in our lives. That's a heavy title for us to carry around so lightly. James says we can show that godly character in three ways. That there should be evidence of a godly character in our conversation. The things that we say, the things that we don't say. We should be exhibiting a godly character in our conversation. There should be evidence of a godly character through our compassion and concern and care for others. And there should be evidence of a godly character in our conduct, by the way that we conduct ourselves, by the way that we carry ourselves, the things that we do day in and day out. We are known by our fruits, by the fruits that we sow. And you've heard the saying, you'll reap what you sow, right? If we're sowing to the things of God, we're going to reap to the things of God. If we're sowing to the things of this world, if we're sowing to sinful things and things of this world, then we're going to reap to the things of this world. But here we see that we are known by our fruits. We are to display a character that is consistent, not with the world, but a character that is consistent with Christ. We are to represent Him in everything that we do. And by doing so, we lend credibility to the faith that we profess. We lend credibility to that faith. I believe the single greatest issue facing the church today in this generation and in this hour is this issue of credibility. Are we credible? Is there a crisis of credibility in the life that we live in our churches today? Are we credible in our claim to follow Christ? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they what? And they follow me." The world is watching. The world is watching the church today to see if we're genuine in our faith, to see if we are indeed for real. Our Lord ended the greatest sermon ever preached with a story to illustrate the importance of being what we ought to be and doing what we ought to do. He concluded by saying that the house that withstood the storm was the one that was built upon the what? Upon the rock. And we know that Jesus is the rock. He is the rock that we are to build our lives upon. And He expounded upon that further. The one that builds upon the rock is the one that both hears the Word of God and heeds the Word of God. And not only a hearer, but a doer of the Word, that hears the Word of God and puts that Word of God into practice in their lives. Verse 22 tells us to not only be hearers of the Word, but to what? To be doers. To be doers of the Word. You see, hearing is a biological function. Hearing is merely a biological function that merely requires two ears that work. Most of us have that capability, don't we? Sometimes we may wonder about our children, or wives may wonder about us husband. But the truth is, hearing is a biological function that most of us are capable of doing on some level. Maybe selective hearing, but hearing is a biological function. But doing, following Christ, is a faith function that requires a surrendered will and a desire for a godly character. So what does true religion involve? True religion involves knowing Christ. The question of the hour is this: do you know Him? Do you know Him? True religion involves sowing consistency. If the answer is yes, I know Him. Not of Him, not about Him, but I know Him because I'm walking with Him daily. Then the consistency question is your life consistent with that claim? And true religion involves showing character. Does your life display the character of God shining forth for all the world to see? To bring it all down, as they say in the military, bottom line up front, do we practice what we preach? Do we perform what we profess? That's the true religion spoken of here in the book of James. True religion that changes lives, that doesn't bind us, but breaks the chains free, because Jesus gives us freedom. The Bible says, "Whom the Son has set free is free indeed." So the religion that we're speaking of here is not the worldly form of religion, but it's the power of Christ working in us, a true religion that changes lives and a true religion that changes the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, the truth of your word, and the power of your word. Father, help us first and foremost to know that we know that we know that we know you as Lord and Savior. Father, if we'll place you first in our lives, everything else will fall in place. Father, help us to know you. And Lord, help us to live lives consistently, day in and day out, that are faithful to you. And Lord, give us that godly character that we need that will keep us in your perfect will and will draw others to you. Lord, help us. Help us to not only talk the talk, but Lord, help us to walk the walk. Father, I pray that you would work in our lives this morning, in this time of invitation, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us and draw us closer to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.